Introduce myself yet, so I
introduce yourself and then respond.
Thank you, and thank you, members of the committee. Thank you, Chairwoman Gill and Senator Cardinale. I appreciate the fact that you met with me on Monday and heard some of our input as well. By way of introduction, I've been in the business for over 40 years. One of my former companies was Sunoco. The study that we've quoted a couple of times is also a study that we happen to glean from the FTC. So I think if we can walk through some of our key elements, and then I think we'll address a number of the questions that were raised, including the Texaco at Belmar, and what happens with a bay business, and what happens when a Wawa moves in, and what happens when a Quick Trek goes below cost for X number of days. I think we can add a little clarity, if I may. Okay. So, for the record, we want to make sure that you understand that we are appearing today in opposition to the bill S-2856. We've provided you written materials. Three studies are in your materials, one of which is the one that my colleague from Sunoco has quoted, Joe McGinn. And you'll hear me say a couple words about that in a couple minutes. But with my 40 years' experience and having been an operator of a gas station in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, for 2 weeks while my dealer went deer hunting, I learned a lot about the business. Literally in 1972, when gasoline...
constraints here, so we're not going to go all the way back to there.
I won't bring it back.
We're going to kind of keep this focus on what we have
here. Thank you. Well, we went from the bay business to C-store business and franchising and developing franchises and the A-plus mini markets that you see that Sunoco has, I was an integral part of. I'd worked for ARCO, Atlantic Refining and Marketing, Sunoco. My only point in bringing that up to you is I have a very vast and broad background. The zone pricing issues that we're talking about today are not new. They go back 30, 40 years. Exxon and Mobil, when they were competitors of each other, had price zones. We, in Lukoil, have a little different spin than a Sunoco or even a Wawa. We have no company-operated locations. We are exclusively dealer-operated. We have 163 facilities in the state of New Jersey that are dealer-operated on the retail side. Unlike having company-operated sites, we're having jobber locations where there's a threshold in the bill of 75, which I'll address in a couple minutes. But to give you a perspective, in the state of New Jersey, we have served approximately 45 million customers each year, 144 million gallons of motor fuel, tens of million dollars in taxes that we pay, and of course, we pass along some of those costs to our motoring public. But suffice it to say that the bill will change all of that. One price throughout the state will not allow for anyone to match a Wawa, for example, because their price will be higher. The question has been raised, why? Why will the price go up? Why will it be? Because, in fact, we subsidize these price zones. Where we have a TCVA, as we call it in our company, they have a different name at Sunoco. That's literally an opportunity to match a competitor. And we take into effect what the dealer's hours are, what the competitor's hours are. It's literally, in years gone by, it was called street corner pricing. It's that narrow and that focused. We have over 100 price zones in the state of New Jersey. We have 163 outlets. So that gives you an idea of how micro we manage the prices at each corner. And in order to do that, you need to have the flexibility to react to an aggressive pricer. The bill strips us of that ability to react. It mandates that there be one price. Or, as I believe the bill reads, you can be company operated, or you can be a commission agent where the company sets the retail price and the dealer gets a commission, or you could be entering a contract with a dealer on a formula-based price, which you would have to do literally every day. Aside from being totally impractical, I'm not sure how legal it would be. So when we looked at this bill, we looked at it in the eyes of our constituents being 163 dealers. How would they react? How would the public react? Is there a benefit for the consumer? You've heard mention of these studies, at least the one. But there are two more that are in your book. I will not go through the histograms and the algorithms that are in the one bill, but they all lead to the same conclusion, that if you have one price, the price in an urban area particularly will go up, because today those urban areas may be subsidized by the supplier with a lower price. And that subsidy is due to the fact that there's a competitor that they're reacting to. In my case, I may be reacting to a Sunoco station, a Delta, which is an unbranded, and a Wawa, all in the same area. I may also, at least for the time being, be reacting to a Hess station that may be in an area that's 100% company operated and is not under this bill. So all of these factors would be stripped out of how we go to market. And our dealers, I have petitions from 29 dealers that represent 44 sites, and I have another over 50 from competitor locations that have all signed a petition indicating that this bill would put them out of business because their prices would go up, and they would not be able to react to the individual prices that are posted by competitors. In a nutshell, that brings you to the questions that are raised. Why is one area cheaper than another area? Why is the price higher in another? One note I will mention, and I mentioned this to the senator when we were together the other day, is that there is not price discrimination. We don't give Joe a better price than Vince because we like Joe better than Vince. We give a price based on what our costs are, and we establish a DTW. What's in that DTW? And one of the things that the senator we do not have an opportunity to explore is that formula. Environmental, maintenance, capital improvements, expenses that you, the consumer, don't see. A tank field, for example, costs $250,000 that we, the supplier, would pay for and then pass along in the form of this DTW. So there may be that kind of apartment impact. We also have rent considerations. One of the things that people don't realize is we may be charged a rent from the landowner, which we then charge the dealer. That dealer does not pay, in most cases, 100% of the rent that we're charged. In our company, that's a $4 million per year gap. We pay $4 million more than we pay to the landlord, than we receive, I'm sorry, from the dealer. Where does the $4 million come from? It comes from our earnings. So, again, we're back to what happens to the price. The price will go up. Yes, there are terminaling costs that get affected. As Joe indicated, we're not a refiner here in the United States either. We buy on the open market. We pay open market prices. A lot of folks have a hobby of looking in the Wall Street Journal and seeing what the NYMEX is, and they try to calculate what the price is. And then when they look at it, they say, oh, gas is only $2.66. Well, that's 90% of the formula. You need ethanol, which is $3.54. That's 35 cents. You have to add the two together, and all of a sudden you find out, oh, wait a minute, it's $3 a gallon. Cost, that's before it gets to the gasoline station. So I offer that only as backdrop to what goes in before you see the big numbers in a big price sign. And when we talk about our competitors, if you have a competitor who's making 65% margin on coffee, he's driving his gasoline sales customers into that Hoagie Fest or coffee deal so that he can make the 65%. They're not making margin on the gasoline. In fact, at times we've proven they're at or close to below cost. I'll choose my words carefully. Because they're driving store traffic. That ancillary business is their livelihood. In our case, half of our stores have bays. So, as Senator Beach said, they have ancillary income that's driven by a different stream. If we keep them uncompetitive, they will be out of business. If we keep the dealers with C-stores uncompetitive, they will be out of business. So I think you had even asked the question, what happens? The market is today a fair, competition, competitive-based marketplace. The bill changes all of that. And it would be the only bill that we're aware of in our research that not only would change to a uniform price throughout the United throughout the state, but has a threshold of 75 locations. We don't know where that came from. It has company ops exempted, as I mentioned. It has provisions to literally pick and choose who the players would be that would have the ability to put somebody else out of business. And that's what we don't think was the intent of the bill. We don't think it was to drive people out of the business. We also don't think the intent was to raise prices for the consumer. We felt that it may have had good intentions, but the way it is today, it does the exact opposite. And Senator Cardinale, as you know, I mentioned this to you on Monday.
Thank you very much.